Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The only thing going in sports in terms of live action is going to be this upcoming NFL draft. And it's a big one because it's a draft that's loaded at two positions that are super important. One is a glamour position. The other one is the second or third most important position on the field, right? The glamour position is wide receiver. Ridiculous number of wide receiving players, wide receivers. And offensive tackle, offensive line. This is a good draft. And that's, of course, in the left tackle, the most important position. Then you have the quarterbacks. And you just so happen to have the perfect storm for the Bengals. They bottom out, get the number one pick. Andy Dalton is coming off of an injury, but Andy Dalton, by some people believe, is on his way out at some point of the organization, right? As they tried to start someone in his stead last year, almost attempting to see what life is like without Andy Dalton. The Bengals need a quarterback. They're drafting number one, and the top prospect at the quarterback position just so happens to be from the state of Ohio and did play early on or was on scholarship at Ohio State before leading LSU to a national championship. So there's the kind of perfect storm. Armando Segura from the Miami Herald said the source told the Herald the Dolphins will attempt to trade to get number one in the draft because they want Joe Burrow. Burrow is evaluated as the top quarterback prospect in the draft. He is from Ohio. And the Bengals, as I told you when there was some sort of hedging from Joe Burrow, the Bengals are not a beloved organization in terms of being drafted for or drafted by. But Burrow ultimately relented and now seems to be at least mostly in on becoming the next Bengals starting quarterback. Now, here's where it gets kind of iffy, or is anything that applies normally to an organization, you can throw out the window because it's the Bengals, right? Like, you take last year when they had all kinds of offensive line issues, the Bengals were dumpster diving to find an offensive line help late in training camp. Why? Because they're the Bengals. The Bengals, who were bottoming out last year, could have traded A.J. Green and gotten a ton back in return. They didn't. Why? Because they're the Bengals. The Bengals do weird stuff. They will take more chances in the NFL draft than anybody else, and they will retain their own players more than anybody else, partially because they're frugal, partially because they're loyal, and partially because they're just the Bengals. They do some weird stuff. So what I'm going to offer up to you, in all candor, in all honesty, is not going to happen. But the Bengals should absolutely engage in trade discussions with the Miami Dolphins. They absolutely should. And I realize that if you find the answer at quarterback under a rookie contract, you are set for not just your first 4 years, but maybe for 10, maybe for 15. And I'm not sitting here diminishing Joe Burrow, who I actually had a virtual coffee with a GM on Saturday morning. And he was sitting there going, I know about the arm strength stuff. He doesn't have a big time arm. Don't care. He checks essentially every box. He's played a bunch of football. He's played a couple systems. He played a pro system last year at LSU. He's athletic. He's tough. He's smart. He's super accurate. Does he throw the greatest ball on earth? No. But that's like fourth or fifth in terms of importance, and he doesn't have a pellet gun arm. Got an arm, just not a cannon. But if I'm the Bengals, who have some of the worst talent overall in the league. Their defense has been an abject disaster. Now, they are getting back offensive line help. Last year's first-round pick missed the entire season. And you could still have A.J. Green, and you still have Andy Dalton, and you still have two talented running backs. If somebody wants to give me a Pirates ransom, which the Dolphins could, right? The Dolphins have a couple of first-round picks this year, a couple of first-round picks next year. If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, an organization that has always tried to and frankly had to because of their frugality. Is frugality a word? Let's just say it is. Because of their frugality, they have to win in the draft. When they've done well, it's they've won in the draft. When they went to the playoffs 5 years in a row, it's because they won in the draft. Between Carson Palmer and TJ Houshmandzadeh, and you pick it. Michael Johnson, a third-round pick. You name it, they did well in the draft. Andy Dalton was their quarterback, second-round pick. And you could still have Andy Dalton, who's fine. And by the way, Andy Dalton's not going to command $30 million. He doesn't have many other options. You can rework Andy Dalton's deal. So it's for a veteran quarterback who's played in all those playoff games. It's a win. Cost certainty. Under $20 million for a quarterback, surround him with a ton of talent. If I am the Cincinnati Bengals and I know that the Miami Dolphins value Joe Burrow far and above every other quarterback in this draft, they need a quarterback and they have the greatest resource of draft picks. What are we doing here? So I look at this and again, I'm telling you, I don't believe it will happen because it's the Bengals. But if I'm running the Cincinnati Bengals and all the smoke that's coming out of Miami is they love Burrow, they love Burrow, they love Burrow, they love Burrow. All right. Give me your best offer and then give me a little more and then give me a little more. I'm trying to build an entire franchise and I have Andy Dalton who's shown he can take them to the playoffs. And considering how far away they are from the playoffs, I don't think it's a dumb proposition at all. And oh yeah, by the way, it doesn't hurt that Bill Belichick values Andy Dalton on some level, that he let it out there that could be a guy before they decided to stick with Stidham. That could be a guy that they would go with instead of Brady. Andy's not great, but AJ Green loves him. Andy's not great, but he knows Cincinnati. Andy's not great, but he's not going to go top dollar. And oh yeah, by the way, if Miami's willing to overpay because they have to get a quarterback, because they spent the entire season tanking to get a quarterback, and they have a bevy of first-round picks over the next couple of years, take those picks. Take them. Take the picks. Reload your roster. Look at how other people have won in the NFL. Look at how they've won. If I'm the Bengals, and I'm not, I'm reasonable, I'm sensible, I'm logical. But if I were the Bengals, this story out of Miami is gold to me. Truth be told, Joe Burrow doesn't even want to play there, right? That's why this stuff all came out. He doesn't really want to be there. And though they love him and they want him, they can get above what his true value is. Dude, what are you doing? And if you check, for example, if you just check the Eli Manning trade, and by my estimation, Joe Burrow would command a higher price than the Eli Manning trade. The Eli Manning trade was actually won by the Chargers. It was won by the Chargers. They got Phillip Rivers, the pick that became Sean Merriman, who was the rookie of the year, and Nate Kading, who was their kicker for the better part of a decade. That's a win. Those three, whether you like Eli better than Phil, which you're allowed to, there's no possible way you can tell me that a team that only got Eli and a team that got Sean Merriman and Eli and Nate Kading, that's not a better trade. Now, some of it comes down to what you do with those picks, but a lot of it comes down to the willingness to go 3-for-1, 4-for-1 is just good math. It's just good math.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, if you can circle back and watch Hard Knocks from last year, obviously Antonio Brown was a good portion of the focus. And Derek Carr, he had moments in there where you're trying to figure out how Gruden feels about him. And Derek Carr is one of those, such a nice dude, such a class act, that it just, it, I don't know if it doesn't work for that show. When he tried to be funny and interesting, it was like somebody told him, hey, Derek, do something, say something fun and interesting. Tell us a good story. But, you know, he's trying to maintain some sort of pristine image. Just felt a little forced. But I do have news for you. As much as it is forced, and this is a marriage of convenience, like I don't think Carr would be the first choice of John Gruden if John Gruden got to choose from anybody in this year's upcoming draft, or you could draft guys, whatever. I don't think he would. But we're going to have to get used to the fact that Derek Carr is going to be their quarterback. Like, you can only go by actions. Now, look, is there still the possibility of doing what Philadelphia did, for example? Was it 4 years ago? Philadelphia had Sam Bradford, re-signed him. Right? They had a backup. I believe Chase Daniels was the backup. Could be wrong. Maybe he was in Kansas City time. They had a backup as well. And then they drafted, in a surprise, they traded up and drafted Carson Wentz and eventually waited. And when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, they traded away Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings. You guys remember all that? So there's not a big hit if they cut Derek Carr. Derek Carr could be traded if somebody else missed. Miami Dolphins don't land the quarterback they want. Heck, even the Chargers, which I don't think the Chargers would, but there are other teams that will want a quarterback in the draft and won't get one. Those teams could reach out. But I read this from Vic Tafer. Vic Tafer covers the Raiders for The Athletic. He did a Q&A online. Vic, are you 100% convinced Carr will be the starter week one or even on the roster? Vic Tafer, never say 100. I've learned from the Max saga. I was told over and over that their dead bodies, would they trade a Hall of Famer in his prime? But my number is up from 67 to 92. Now, look, you only move off a quarterback for really three reasons. One, he's a complete bust. He's a complete bust, and everyone in the organization has lost faith in him. That happened to Bortles. That happened to Manziel. That happened to Jamarcus Russell with the Raiders, right? They're just a complete bust, and you can't have him around the facility. All right, that's one reason. The other is if you can absolutely upgrade at the position. And the last reason is if just financially it doesn't work for you to keep him. It makes more sense to cut him than to keep him. Now, could they, now they have Mariota under contract for 7.5, could they find a way to get rid of Carr's contract? Yeah, they could. They could. But I think John Gruden's a smart guy. And John Gruden probably sees what happened to Mariota in Tennessee. And he's seen it happen throughout the league, which is if you can rehab one of these former starting quarterbacks and get them locked in on what you want them to do, if the starter can't do it, you got a guy there that can plug, that can play, that is experienced. Like from a Ryan Fitzpatrick to a Ryan Tannehill. Heck, even Nick Foles. These backups that were starters once upon a time that you can teach how to, you know, reteach how to play quarterback, give them back their confidence. It doesn't mean that they're the answer, but it means you do have a second weapon there if the first one doesn't work out. And my guess is that's his plan. Derek Carr's not a great quarterback. He's not a top 10, but he's not a scrub either. He's played to play. He actually didn't play when they went to the playoffs, right? Got hurt, broke his leg, and has been tentative about ever taking contact ever since. But NFL teams don't just give up on quarterbacks without having a legit reason. He's got no off-field baggage. He doesn't make a crazy amount of money. and he's not a complete bust, and the organization hasn't lost total faith in him. The Cardinals moved off of Josh Rosen because Josh Rosen couldn't play. They were convinced that Kyler Murray was an upgrade, and they were right. Do I think that the Raiders think that Tua is an upgrade? They probably do. Do I think that they think that Joe Burrow is an upgrade? They probably do. I don't think they think anybody else in the draft is. And so they're going to have to weigh, do we trade a couple of first-round picks in order to move up and get Tua? And if we do, then do we then cut Derek Carr? Can we find a suitor for him? But this idea that somebody else is going to start, I don't see them going and getting Burrow. Tua is the one guy who you'd say maybe, but I just don't think they extend that amount of draft capital. Maybe. You know, you have two Hawaiian quarterbacks on your roster and they think Mariota can be the starter in his stead. Maybe. We're not out of the woods yet, but we can see the clearing off into the distance if you're Derek Carr for quarterback of the Raiders in 2020.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
I want to get to this. Matthew Slater, who of course re-signed with the Patriots, said this about their expectations without Tom Brady. I don't think the goals change. The standard doesn't at all. The pillars we stand upon, they don't change at all. The Patriot way. Now, look, it might work. It just might, right? Like, you have a super talented quarterback in terms of Stidham. Jared Stidham was a top 10 high school prospect. Then he started, I think, as a freshman at Baylor. The Baylor thing blew up, transferred to Auburn, and he did have statistically a very good final year at Auburn. But it's not like anybody thinks he was the absolute heir apparent. On the other hand, you got to give credit to the Patriots between Jacoby Brissett, who they drafted in, was the third or fourth round out of Mississippi State, and Jimmy Garoppolo, NC State. I'm sorry, did I say Mississippi State? My bad. NC State. Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, they have shown the recent ability to evaluate the quarterback position well. So maybe they're saying what I said earlier this week, which is like, hey, Jared Stidham does not have to be Tom Brady in his prime. If he's as good as Tom Brady was last year, well, that was good enough for 12 wins. Doesn't mean they win 12, but they could, because you know, make a bunch of money, run it back, you play on their defense. If their running game is healthier, their offensive line is better. Offensive line was a little banged up last year. Why not? On the other hand, the unwillingness to bend, which I support Belichick in doing it his way. He's done it this way his entire career. Why should he change? And by the way, in the books that we're reading, I have read excerpts of Gridiron Genius, but I'll give you credit, Ryan Music. Music's like, hey, do you remember this part of Gridiron Genius? That's Michael Lombardi's book. And so last night I was like, we're telling our kids to read more. I always read stuff on the internet. Like, that's my reading that I do. Like, why don't I sit down? So I started reading Gridiron Genius, and I'm about a quarter of the way through. But like, Belichick is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in the very first chapter, I might even be in the intro to the book. I think it's the intro to the book. He was talking about the Malcolm Butler play. Okay. So just so you know, the year before the Malcolm Butler play, the Patriots had a terrible goal line defense. In 13 first and goal to go situations, I think inside the five, they gave up 11 touchdowns and 2 field goals. They didn't get a stop, not one. No fumbles, no interceptions, nothing. So they spent the entire offseason trying to figure out, how in the hell are we going to evolve? How are we going to fix? Because goal line defense, traditional goal line is six defensive linemen? Six defensive linemen, right? Bringing six defensive linemen. You have two cornerbacks and a safety. And what teams have started to do is throw out three wide receiver sets, spread game sets, and they could find the mismatch, and it was easy pickings. And they came up with the idea that instead of having two cornerbacks and a safety on the field and finding the mismatch with the safety, they would throw a third cornerback on the field. So you go back to the Super Bowl, And Lombardi said the entire year, the entire season, they never went to this look because there wasn't that setup where you're first and inside the 5 yard, first and goal to go. If you remember the Super Bowl, Belichick didn't call timeout. Everybody's like, let him score or call timeout. He did neither. And what did they do? Pete Carroll looked, saw the six defensive linemen, knew the Patriots were in goal line, so they went to a spread set. And Malcolm Butler, instead of a safety, was on the football field. Now, he had to read the play. They were prepared for it. He made an incredible play, an interception, which won them the Super Bowl. That was their fifth Super Bowl at the time. But the idea of what Belichick did was amazing. He prepared for that one moment, and sure as hell, that was the moment in Super Bowl that won them the game. Spent the entire offseason, how do we fix this thing? He paints the picture of it's snowy outside. Belichick walks in, terrible mood. First day on the job, back with Belichick, who he'd worked with before. And he's like, he was intolerable because he had this problem that they had to fix, and it took him a year into the Super Bowl and one play, and it was solved. He's an unbelievable coach. But everybody ages out of this thing, man. It's like Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich is a great coach. Great. Not good. Great. Spurs any good? All right. Right? It's like when Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan collectively got old, they still got great. Like, they still went and got LaMarcus Aldridge and, you know, DeMar DeRozan. They had Kawhi before that, but his inability. They had Kawhi, but they couldn't figure out how to break through to Kawhi, and they get DeMar. Like, they still have really good players. They have a really good culture. But they're not a championship contender anymore. It's not even a discussion. Like, we don't even bring up the Spurs anymore. Because as much as coaching does really, really matter. Like, I don't think the Warriors were as good as they became unless Steve Kerr is their coach. He's a great coach, especially for that team. But you ain't got players. You ain't got nobody's ever done it without players. And in this search for credit, like, I do think Belichick should get a ton of credit. But Tom Brady's pretty nice, isn't he? Right? And Rob Gronkowski was pretty special. And Wes Welker was incredible. And Randy Moss and Julian Edelman. And like it was a perfect mix. And when the mix gets off just a little bit, anybody's had a recipe, you put too much, a lot of you are cooking now at home, right? Put a little too much baking soda in the pie you're making or in the banana bread, and it tastes kind of bitter and chalky. We're too much to the coaching side. And it happens to everybody. You know, Don Shula looked like he couldn't coach at the end. They got embarrassed with 62-7 the last game that Dan Marino played, right? Was Don Shula, is he a dope? No. But eventually, the younger generation overtakes the older generation. That's just what happens. And I do think we're on the brink, potentially, of that with Belichick.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I saw this from NFL.com. The all-combine team, the best edge rusher at the combine was Alex Highsmith. That's from NFL.com, not from Gottlieb, from NFL.com. He joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What was that experience like for you, Alex?
It was great. You know, it was just a great experience. You know, the combine being a childhood dream of mine, just NFL allowed me to go to the combine, just have an opportunity to be there. It was just awesome. You know, the whole week was good. Just from the interviews, you know, to the medicals, to the on-field workouts, you know, it was truly a blessing to be there. You know, just truly thankful and grateful to just be in the position that I was at. And just, you know, I really feel like I made the most out of the week. You know, I went in there with a chip on my shoulder. You know, definitely from a smaller school, not a Power 5 school like a lot of the guys were there. And so I had a chip on my shoulder, you know, to just go out there and be the best that I could be in everything I do. And so I just felt like I made the most of that week, and you know, it was an amazing experience. So I'm just glad I was able to do that.
How do you process, like what'd you run the 40 in?
4.70.
And what how does that compare to how you've run it at home?
So it's actually probably better than what I've run at home. I actually got there, and this is right after the season, and I got there at Exos. I trained at Exos in Arizona, and I got there and ran like a 4.90. And so and got it down a whole 0.2 of a second. So just course, you know, all my hard work pay off. Not only in that, but also, you know, in my vertical and my broad jump and my position drills as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering though about let's start with the 40, right? So, yes, like, you know, one, you gotta get loose, but you got all this energy, and I know there's a form to it, and I know exos that they're trying to help you, and like, how do you process all of that energy and all that excitement, and you're waiting for other guys are running? Like, what did you think about? How did you handle the emotions of it?
I just felt like I handled it good. You know, I was nervous. You know, going into the week, you know, the 40 really is the biggest test. You know, I definitely was nervous come the day of. You know, I felt like once I got on the field and I started warming up, you know, I felt good too. We had Exos had a whole suite at the Omni Hotel at the combine, so we could go there and we could, you know, run practice 40 starts and we could, you know, get PT if anything that's sore. And so just, you know, I felt comfortable going in. And so I started warming up and I felt good. And I got up to the line and, you know, I just tried to calm myself down, you know, and just, you know, just stay calm and just, you know, went out there. And yes, you know, it is a lot about form, you know, really the first 10 yards about, you know, getting length and, you know, getting those first two steps, you know, after about 20 yards and it just flat out running. So that's what I was thinking. Just really get out explosive. And then once you get to 20 yards, just rise up and just go.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What you don't know about Alex Highsmith is he was a walk-on. Like, you're a walk-on at Charlotte. Okay, so how come you didn't have a scholarship opportunity come out of high school?
You know, probably because of my size, you know. Also, you know, I didn't play at the best school. You know, the school I was at, we went 0-10 my senior year, so it wasn't too good of a senior year. But I put on about 20 to 30 pounds since I've been at Charlotte from when I was a senior in high school. So when I was a senior in high school, I played inside backer, and I was like around 205, 210. Like, I was really skinny. You know, I had speed. It's just I wasn't, you know, really big. You know, I felt like, you know, the school I was at, and just also, you know, just my size, it kind of kept me from getting offers. But, you know, I had a partial offer from Furman, and Davidson was another school that was looking at me. But, you know, as soon as I went to Charlotte, I thought it'd be, you know, an amazing idea to be a part of a startup program, and just a place like Charlotte is just amazing. So, you know, just I'm glad that, you know, I made the decision that I made. And if you ask me, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way. Just being a walk-on was just something that, you know, I'm proud of, and the walk-on mentality is something that I always have.
Yeah, I know you have it on your Twitter page. There's been lots of articles written about it. Yeah. Alex Highsmith joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Eugene Ashley High School, you couldn't win a stinking game? Didn't you want to go like, hey, let me play quarterback, I'll just run over some fools? You couldn't win a game?
No, we didn't win one.
Damn.
My senior year.
Damn. Who was the quarterback?
He was, his name was Champ Carey. He was...
Good dude?
Huh?
Good dude?
Kind of.
Really. Oh, that's how you couldn't win a game. Your quarterback, nobody wanted to block for him. Not really. not really. Okay, so this is always fascinating. So how old were you when you graduated high school?
I was 17 years old.
Okay, so you're young, right? Because there's lots of dudes that are holdbacks that are 19 their senior year. You put on your man muscles when you get, so you get to Charlotte. Did you gain the weight by just getting a college weight room and getting after it? You become Mr. Protein Shake Guy? Was it, you know, how did you put on all that good weight?
So I've had a weird weight fluctuation, you know, since I've been in college. You know, I got there about 225. That gain got all the way up to like 255 my redshirt freshman year. And, you know, my redshirt freshman year wasn't a good 255. You know, I got there and just ate whatever I wanted in the cafeteria. And I got it to an unhealthy 255. Then that next year, the spring, I pulled my hamstring. They caused me to have to sit out some of winter conditioning and spring ball, and also got really sick that semester. Like a lot of our team, you know, caught the flu and had a respiratory infection. And so I lost like 20 pounds going into that season, and I ended up playing at like 235. So, and then the next spring is really kind of when my game changed, you know, off the field as well. That's when I started learning about nutrition and how to eat right. You know, we got a grill at our house, something that we hadn't had before, and just really the nutrition part, and just like you said, the supplements too, with protein and everything like that, really helped me to just transform my body into what I wanted to be and help me to take my game to the next level. You know, that's something that, you know, I'm going to continue to do well, eat right, and so, because, you know, that's really what it's about off the field, you know, taking care of your body off the field. So that was really when it changed for me in the spring of 2018 when I, you know, started eating right.
This is interesting. Dabo Sweeney said this about you. He's on the great players list. I keep watching him and going, holy cow, he looks like Xavier Thomas. Fast, physical, disruptive. He's causing sacks and tips. Really, really good player. That number five could play for anybody in the country. That's Dabo Sweeney talking about Alex Highsmith of Charlotte, who's joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so nutrition huge to you. Your workout's big to you, and now you're in Arizona. Are you guys getting to work out? Do you have to do the speakeasy thing where you got to make sure no cops are in the parking lot knocking the door to get in? Like, how do you keep it up?
Well, I'm not in Arizona right now. I'm actually in Wilmington, North Carolina. So back home right now. I was in Charlotte after the combine. I was doing an internship with my strength coach and my strength staff up there. But everything's closed up there. So I came down here. And it's actually pretty cool. I have a couple connections down here. I've been training with Derek Brunson, UFC middleweight fighter, number 8th in the world right now. My dad actually taught him in high school. And so, you know, I kind of had that connection there, you know, reached out to my dad. I was like, hey, you think Derek's gym will be open? Dad gave me his number and just reached out to him. So I've been doing a lot of cross-training and boxing and kickboxing with him, just working on my hands, working on my cardio and stuff like that. And also been training with Terrence Williams as well. He was a former running back at Wake Forest. So I've been doing, like, footwork and agility work with him. So it's been good being here at home. And like I said, you know, no gyms are open, so I've had to become creative in ways to work out at my house.
Your dad, Sam, was what did he teach? What's he teach?
He used to teach history. That's what he taught. So now he's a principal. He's a principal now in the school system. But when he taught Derek Brunson, he taught history.
All right. So when your dad calls you, you get called in the principal's office. I love that.
I can't recall a time where I got called in the principal's office.
You a good? you a big Dawson's Creek guy? That's Wilmington, isn't it?
Funny. That's a funny story. I'm glad you brought that up. Have you watched the show? You watched it, right?
I mean, I'm gonna say I have watched the show. Can I say I studied the show? No, but I definitely watched the show, and everybody knows the theme song.
Okay. Do you remember the baby that got born in that show?
Yes.
That was me.
No way. You were in the show?
I was in the show. Yes, sir.
I guess the show is that old.
Yeah, that was me.
Are you still getting reciprocals? Like, do you go to the mailbox here once in a while? You're like, $2.25. Why do I have $2.25 come in? Like, oh, Dawson's Creek.
Nah, but it was pretty cool. I remember my parents told me it was pretty cool. We actually sitting here looking at the complete first season right here now by my TV. And so it was pretty cool. Went back and we watched it, and probably going to watch it again tonight since you brought it up. And it's just funny, you know, to see that. You know, I was a baby on that show. I was a little actor right there. It wasn't much money, but, you know, it was a pretty cool setup.
That's a really cool setup. By the way, I believe that's an NCAA violation, and your career is going to be wiped, completely wiped out. Compliance from Charlotte just called in, and sorry, you're going to have to give $1,000 to a charity in order for your records to stand. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture, tell me what the perfect draft day is to you in terms of about where location wise you'd go play, and about for who, and about what type of style, what type of system.
You know, perfect draft day for me. You know, just want to be here, and I'll be here in Wilmington, North Carolina. You know, unfortunately, with the coronavirus, you know, can't have all my family here and everything like that. But you know, in an ideal world, if everything was normal right now, you know, that's what it'd be going on. So I really won't have my family here, my girlfriend, you know, a few of my best friends as well, and so. But, you know, really anywhere would be nice. You know, I don't have a really favorite team right now. You know, I am a Panthers fan, diehard Panthers fan. So, you know, it would be nice for them to draft me too. But, you know, anywhere would be awesome. You know, I feel like I definitely fit best in a 3-4 scheme as a stand-up outside backer. And that's what a lot of teams have been telling me about. So I'm just excited, you know, for that day. And I'm just like, I can't wait. And I'm just going to stick to my grind, keep trusting the process, you know, do whatever I can get myself prepared.
Can you believe Cam's not going to be in a Panther uniform?
Yeah, it's crazy. it's crazy.
Yeah. They call it the NFL, not for long, right? Not.
Yeah, I saw a picture a couple weeks ago. It was like a picture of all six captains from the 2015 season when they went 15-1. They're all gone. It's like, wow, crazy.
Yep, all gone. Well, maybe to be replaced by a guy like you. In the meantime, congrats on what you've accomplished so far. I know a lot more to come. Can't wait to see where you're picked. We'll catch up then. In the meantime, throw in that Dawson's Creek and watch yourself as a baby. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Doug, for having me. All right, pleasure.